with Fox because we had Spring Fox and we had Sun Fox, and I was carrying 16 of the dogs on me because one house had a dog on the floor, somebody else had a dog, somebody else was allergic. There was just a mess. So I said, oh, the heck with this nonsense, I'm going to try something different. Well, I ended up developing this little gadget that has what looks like Velcro on it. It isn't. But it works like Velcro, and it holds the Terry Fox house in place. When I got in front of them at my home show upstairs, everybody kept buying them to clean off and dry off the sides of the yard. So finally, somebody got a hold of me and said, you're in the wrong business, Terry. We need to fix the people in the yard business. And so he managed to get out of the yard, so I came over here. And then I discovered that a lot of people were having trouble cleaning and drying inside of the coach. I kept hearing stories about people falling off ladders. It was just pretty troublesome. There's still another chair available up here, and another, there's two more chairs up here yet. I'm going to come on in. There's two more chairs up here yet. So, what I did was bring together tools that keep you off the ladder while you want to dry. It also ended up being a whole lot faster to clean that way and get the job done a lot sooner and a lot quicker, and then you have more time to go play. And that's what RDN is all about. Well, people found out that I knew a lot about cleaning. Can you hear me okay? Oh, we're doing all right. Okay. When they found out I knew a lot about cleaning, they started asking me to do cleaning seminars. And I said, oh, I can't do that. I said, everybody's cleaning their whole life to get out of shut up. You said, that's how my delivery stand up and go more. But at any rate, I have to get my book out. But the seminars, I talk a lot and I talk pretty fast and cover a lot of territory. And so people kept saying, I can't write as fast as you talk if you have a book. So I do have a book called Simplify Your Work. I'll tell you the story behind that in just a minute. That led to writing clean articles for AP, Motor Home Magazine, RV Gazette up in Canada. Those articles have led to various articles in Women's World, Women's Day, various newspapers, various clean magazines, radio shows, things like that. I am right now co-authoring my first book that will be out next March. It's an idiot guide to how to clean your home. So that will be out next March. So things are kind of expanding, and I'm having a chance to teach people the easy way to do things. Let's get started. Okay, on the outside of your coat, everybody knows that you need to wash either early in the morning or later in the evening because you've got to stay ahead of your water spot problem. We still have one more chair up front, two more chairs up front. If anybody wants another chair, three more chairs. There's one chair, one in the third row, one in the second row, and there's one in the second row over here. So then I think the chairs are all filled. Okay. Alright. So you've got to feel kind of a
yeah. No, no, that's not right.
Okay, because you've got to stay ahead of the water spot problem. What happens is that the water spot is like the water spot on your glass shower doors. It's alkali that causes that problem. And the only problem is with the water spot, if you drop them and get them off of there right away, they'll come off. But if you let them set, the alkali in that water will literally start etching into the surface and it's next to, you know, the surface. And the nice stuff you can get off of there, but the alkali itself is can. Now, I have some questions about how to remove the alkali. The best way to do that on your glass or on the side of your coat, really, or on your arm, you really should not be using a finger on an ongoing basis on your coat. That if you will bring some white distilled vinegar, and when I talked about vinegar this morning, the joy of white distilled vinegar is not apple cider or wine vinegar or anything like that. It's white distilled vinegar. Boil some vinegar, put it on that surface, or wipe it on with a sponge, let it set for about 15 minutes, go back and wipe over those water spots again, let it set about another 15 minutes. My number one rule of cleaning is your product. trying to work. If you don't learn anything else but that from me today, it will solve more of your cleaning problems than you can even begin to imagine. It takes time to break down a lot of your questions because I don't have a lot of time this morning. I want to come to the very end. So give your product time to work. It just takes time to break down that alkaline. So let that set on there. I don't know why boiling vinegar has a better job than just straight vinegar, but it seems to boost that, that ability for it to break down the alkaline. Then you want to take and very lightly buff that off. You can use a white scrub pad like this to get those off. You want to use a piano pad a little bit. If you have water spots that are on glass, on mirrors, or showers, or your windshield, use a little bit of baking soda and a soft cloth, and that usually polishes it off. But remember, if it doesn't come off, after one too quiet, but doing that, sometimes you just have to go back and re-repeat that boiling ginger a couple of times to get it all off. But after that time, if the water clock is still on there, you'll probably come that and exit and you're going to get off all that you can, you know, after those couple of times. Okay, now let's go back to washing your RV real quick now. What do you wash it with? There's a lot of different products out there, and it's really confusing. I said I don't have an RV. So I did like I did when I started cleaning houses. I spent hours and hours researching this company. I talked to Vestem, who makes the fiberglass for a lot of the size of the coaches. I talked to the aluminum manufacturers. I talked to Dycor, who makes the rubber roofing. I've also talked with Industrial Finishes, who does the painting of cement for the size. Every one of them says you need a very mild detergent. This is key. The Wool Life or Baby Shampoo is all you need to use to clean your coaches, to clean your RV. You don't need all these fancy washers. They don't want you using strong cleaners. I got told by people grain a while ago because I was saying in one of my articles not to use simple grain on your coat because it can soften the rubber or the adhesive on rubber roof, and it literally will deteriorate and soften the sealant on the side of your coat. So use Wool Wipe or baby shampoo only. No more liquid dishwashing detergent, no Mr. Grain, or no simple grain, no Mr. Clean. We'll buy your baby shampoo. Now, when you wash this, when you've got a lot of brushes, the only brush that I recommend for cleaning is made with forest hair. Now, if you can find them, they're very difficult to find, but they're a very good brush. Recommend cotton, 100% cotton. These things are wonderful. Your brushes, what happens with your brushes, the reason that they will stretch the pressure of these is because the ends of them are really nice and soft, which is fine. It's the same, right? But when you get a little bit of a hard spot there, the bristles are going to collapse when you put a little pressure on, and then you're cleaning with the under part of that, the inside part of it, and that's what's going to stretch your coat. You also have to sit there and go back and forth on these things an awful lot. With a cotton pad, it cleans that. You can come right down and it cleans it the first time. The cotton is perfectly safe. Now, these things are thin and smooth underneath your ladders and all cars. They fold, they get curved up over the top. This is what us can recommend. Now, Industrial Finishes, we're going to be talking a lot about paint and wax in a little bit. But remember, if you have an RV that is newer than 2 years old, in other words, if it was maybe around 2003 or after that, your paint is changing. Because of the VOC regulations, the paint has gone from being lead-based to water-based. Now what that means is you really want to take good care of your clear coat sealer, which will protect that paint. But if you're using hard cleaners on it, if you're using the wrong kind of wax, it's going to deteriorate that clear coat sealer. Well, what happens with your water-based paint is you're not as hard as what a lead-based paint is. And so because of that, a water-based paint will start oxidizing within a month to 2 months' time, whereas a lead-based paint won't oxidize for maybe a year and a half. So you really need to take good care of that coat. Industrial Finishes says, no, we need something even more gentle because of the new water-based paint. we need something even more gentle than cotton. So I have a lambswool pad. This is 100% lambswool. I have a lambswool pad especially designed for me. So it's soft enough to use on these large baby tapes. Alright, now a little trick with these things are thin enough when they're in a car and they don't let you get the hoses out. We can small enough to fit in a bucket of water, one bucket to wash and one bucket to rinse, and you can wash the coat in just about any car. Now a little trick when you're doing that, if you'll add a little bit of vinegar to your rinse bucket of water, and just a little bit, I mean by a little bit, I mean maybe a fourth to a third of a cup, you don't need much, just a little tiny bit. But the vinegar will neutralize that alkali in the water. It will help keep your water spots from forming. The vinegar also has another good ability. It's a very good cleaner, so it's going to boost the cleaning ability of the raw water of the baby gets, which you don't need to use very much of it. But it also has this extraction ability. So when, you know, you have some suds or something in your wash pad, the vinegar will pull those suds out of your wash pad. We'll talk a lot about that when we get into cleaning carpets and removing stains and things. So it will extract that out, and then with your rinse water, you can go down and rinse. Now, it's very important to dry quickly. You want to use an easy squeegee. These things don't have those metal strips on them that are, you know, where you take the chance of scratching your coat. It just holds up to that. Once you're down off the side, then you want to follow up with the towel with the right cleaning tip. Now the neat part about this is you can turn it on in, and those narrow areas, you know, where you get in between your windows that are so hard to dry, it'll just turn it on in and it'll keep you in between those narrow areas. And then you can also use the towel with this thing to apply the water with wash like you're a nanny. You can clean the wax strips, you can turn down or overhead and not have to get your ladders up. And by the way, get off your floor with this thing, because you put that floor off your ladder, get your hands on it. Fantastic. Okay, now when you're at home and you're washing your coat, and you can hose it down, go ahead and add a little bit of vinegar to your wash bucket of water. And again, that's going to boost the cleaning ability of the wool liner the baby's going through and help you clean there a lot faster. Okay, one of the problems that you get a hold of with cleaning your coats are oils. Are oils spills? It's never driven down on high with these gas tankers, so you can pass some gas tanks. A semi that's called a gas cleaner oil, it just ran over the flat oil all the way down your side. I carry a product called cleaner and degreaser. Now one of the things is that it takes time. So when you put that on, you want to keep it concentrated, put it on, let it set for about 15 to 20 minutes. It just takes time, or you can use an orange-based cleaner, you know, concentrated orange cleaner. If you're using a concentrated orange cleaner, make sure it does not contain petroleum distillate. Take the bottle and make sure it doesn't have petroleum and distillate in it. But apply that, let it set for about 15 minutes or so, then go back and wipe it off. Because if you apply it, sit there and start talking, you're going to sit there and buff for 15 minutes because it just takes time for that to dissolve. So give your product time to work and go clean your tires or clean your rims, you know, your rims, something like that instead. Now let's talk about some tires here. I talked to Michelin, Dunlop, Goodyear, and Goodrich. Now Michelin is very, very specific. All four companies said you need to clean your tires about four times a year. Rubber naturally oxidizes. They all recommend, even if you're not full cutting, get the tires out and dry them at least once a month for 40 or 50 miles because that will pull that natural oil from the tires and pull that to the surface and keep all the rest of your tires well lubricated as well. But they also recommend scrubbing those with a brush. You can use a brush or I have a white pad that's also good on your rubber book. But these will remove that oxidation because rubber does naturally oxidize. And it's not that your tires are cracking. That's just the natural process of rubber. It's just going to dry. All you need to do is go ahead and wash it down. Now when you're washing your tires, again, wool liner baby shampoo is time to use. Laundry, you don't want to go using liquid dishwashing detergent, powdered laundry soap is fine. It doesn't dissolve borax. Also, it dissolves the tires. But it's coming out. Now, if your tires, after you scrub them, if your tires still are looking kind of cracked, please don't put a tire treatment on them, okay? Because if you do, and they're still looking cracked, and you take the tires in and you say, you know, they're cracking, and I need to replace them, guess what? You just voided the warranty, okay? Because warranties and guarantees are only good against manufacturing defects. A tire treatment is not a part of the manufacturing process. You put a tire treatment on there, and if your tires blow out because the tire treatment you have petroleum discord in it, your warranty's out the door. Now this one was very specific. They said absolutely never use a petroleum discord or a tire treatment on their tires. You've automatically voided the warranty. If you remember 4 or 5 years ago, you were having all those blowout problems. Well, they were blowing the tire treatments instead of, you know, a bad group of tires. I'm not real sure what was going on. But at any rate, they have come out and said, do not use the tire treatment on your tires. The other three companies said, well, you're probably going to be all right. You know, we probably honor the warranty anyway, but what the customer service people say and what the people say when they get into the service center are a lot of times it's a different thing. If you do use the tire treatment, make absolutely certain it does not contain petroleum discord. Okay? It needs to go slow. Now, your wheels on the tires, again, those are changing. On tires that are older than 2 years old, you have your aluminum wheels where they need to be polished with a metal polish. I have 2 metal polishers that I recommend. One is called Metall. It's M-E-T-F-A-L-L. It's very good. I've gotten in samples from a lot of different companies. Metall was one of the best, and Swift was also a very good metal polish on the rims and the tires. So those two I very highly recommend. But the newer tires, the newer than 2 years old, they now have cements on those, on a big part of them on the outfield. You cannot use hard detergents on those, and please do not clean those with a metal polish because it will produce the cement that's on them. And you can tell if it's real because they are going to be shiny. You know, they have a real good shine to them. Don't use the metal polish on those. They recommend cleaning those with a mild cleanser. Again, your rule lies to any shampoo and they can be fine for cleaning those. On the air. With drying, you want to brush those off first before you roll them up, because then dirt and grit that sticks in there, you know, even though you roll up pretty tight, that dirt and grit kind of gets in there and you're traveling down the road and it's chilly and it can wear down the fabric in your lining pretty quickly. Brush those things off. The easy way to clean those is after you brush them off, you take a bucket of water, fill it full of, like, again, some wool lighter baby shampoo. Take that bucket of water and dump it up on top of your awning. Now take a towel over my cleaning pad and just wet that all over your awning, okay? And then you're going to take your awning and you're going to roll it up, and what are you going to do? Let it set for 30 minutes, okay? Because when your awning rolls up and you've got the water and the cleaner all over it, you've got it rolled up, it's cleaning the top and bottom at the same time, okay? So it's going to take you on the cleaning chair a little bit. Then when you unroll it, it doesn't require much rinsing, but rinse it with a little bit of vinegar and a bucket of water, and then let some air dry. Because if you roll them up right away, they're going to mold and mildew, and everybody's already going to mark it, because there's Mary all that one has to do, drive to California to clean my awning. Well, that's no two things. So come over to Eastern Oregon or down to California. But if you get some mold and mildew on your awning, particularly if you live down south like Florida or in the Midwest where you have a lot of humidity, you can get some mold and mildew on your awning. When that happens, take some hydrogen peroxide. By the way, I want you to take your pouring grates, your wet strippers, your salt ring mops, and there's a couple of mercury oil soap out of the trash. Okay? Pouring grates, that stuff is toxic, it's hard on fabric, it's hard on your lungs, it's stuff is not easy to breathe. So put roll it up and let it set for about 30 minutes. Also, another trick with those is unroll your awning all day long in the bright sun, as the heat from the sun will also help kill the mold and the mildew with those. Okay, let's show you the windshield. Now, on the windshield, you've got a big problem there. They're called love bugs. down south and in the Midwest and over in Florida and places. They're also called grasshoppers over in eastern Oregon. If you've got bugs on those, and they're hard to get a hold of. Now, I carry what they call microfiber. Folks, I want to give you a huge warning about microfiber. I do a lot of research on this because I'm a manufacturer. Do not use microfiber on any field or any surface. That includes the side of your house, your hardwood floors, your marble floors, your cabinets, your cars, or anything else like that. Microfiber is made from 80 to 85% polyester, and plastic, and it will scratch the things off your coat and off your car eventually. The problem with a lot of these products, if you don't know that the damage is being done until when, it's too late. You got it, and that's what happens. I had a man last January in India came by my booth and said, Mary, I heard this seminar about 3 years ago. I wish I had listened to you about microfiber when you said that. I had been using it. He said it just cost me $1,500 to put a new clear coat on his coat. Because of the fact that the microfiber eventually cracks the skin off of it. He backed up off, but I'll tell you what. You cannot use microfiber to make the bugs off the windshield or to paint in your mirrors and your windows with it. It is absolutely fantastic. It comes prepared when washes and when dries. Then you change the beam I have specially made to stay on the same pad holder that the soft wash and my landfill pad comes on. So it doesn't require much more equipment to carry it. The beams are great on the windshield. It'll do a good job for you. Now, with the windshield, it will take a little bit of your wax. I have my own manufacturer called Advantage that does not contain petroleum liquid. Take just a little bit of it, you know, not a lot, but just a little bit, and put on the windshield to glass the quartz so when those bugs hit, that's what makes it hard to get them off of there. Because when the bugs hit on those windshields, they literally go into the quartz and they glass. And then the sun comes along and takes it in there, and it's really hard to get them out. So put a wax or some magnet over that windshield. It will help it get that glass coating, and it's going to help prevent those bugs from getting in that glass. And then it's just going to wipe right off for you, and it really doesn't, you know, it's no problem at all to get them off of there. Okay. You're not using a little warning. If you're putting your wax on your windshield and you're not using it then, and by the way, on your waxes and things, a bottle must specify on it that it does not contain petroleum liquid. But if it doesn't say no petroleum liquid, chances are it has your solution in it. But don't get it. If you have a wax that has your solution in it, don't get that wax on your basket. Because the petroleum liquid, whether it's the good stuff or the bad stuff, likes to be covered. So it will literally start disintegrating. It's the same thing with tires. It will start disintegrating that rubber. And after a while, your windshields or your windows will start leaking, and that's where you're having a problem coming from. Okay, so keep it off that rubber. But again, your rubber jacket may look like it's drying out. It's just a natural tendency for rubber. So just take a toothbrush and go up and spray it a couple times a year, and that will reduce those oxidation. Now, another problem you have with your windshield is getting your windshield wipers. You know, keeping those clean, they're expensive. So things are up like for a motorhome and even a car, they're up like $35 for a pair of those things. So what you want to do, you know, when it starts raining, it looks like the rain starts clearing. Well, chances are it's not that the windshield wiper blades need to be replaced. It's just that you've got all the, you know, your diesel oil and fuel sitting in the face. And they'll have tendency to stick on rubber. So take either like a 50-50 solution concentration of rubbing alcohol to water, or just liquid spray, it's okay to use a little bit of liquid dishwashing detergent. Take a soft cloth, dampen it with some water, put a little bit of liquid dishwashing detergent on your cloth, and just clean your windshield wiper blade. And that will remove all that oil and junk off of them, and it will keep them in better shape, and it will help them work a little better. Now, one of the tricks that you want to do, they are making some pads now that you can slide on your windshield wipers as a protection if you can pull the right from your windshield. That you want, or either that, or go into a hardware store and get a piece of pipe insulation that's in the plumbing section, cut it to size, then slide those over your windshield, your wiper blade, and that way it pulls it away from the glass. Because when that glass, when the windshield wiper blades are up against that glass, it may be 70 degrees outside, the heat coming off of your glass is 150. So if you pull those blades away from the glass, it's going to help extend your life considerably. So get those blades. And I have some people tell me that they cut out the tip of a tennis ball and place it over. That won't help if you still have that heat from the sun. It really is best if you get those people very protected. Alright, let's get into talking about roofs here. Now, I called it Tom's Design Corps. We have the factory that you can see down that goes on your roof, that your roof is made out of. And then, of course, you've got aluminum roofs and you have fiberglass roofs. Let's talk about the double roofs first because these are two completely different subjects entirely. Your double roof, Design Corps wants to clean those four times a year. And this is what you need with this little pad. It goes on that pad holder and you can get in and spread those rubber roofs. Because again, it's rubber, it oxidizes. So what looks like it's drying out is not necessarily drying out and cracking. Again, it's just the tendency of rubber to oxidize. It needs to be scrubbed. But they want to clean that with laundry detergent. Do not use the O'Green up there. Don't use an orange cleaner up there. Don't use your laundry soap up there or your laundry detergent up there because you're on peroxide or chlorox or anything else. Your rubber roofs are only an eighth of an inch thick. Okay? They're also very porous. So whatever you put on top and you clean it with, it's going to soak right down to the end, down to the bottom where the adhesive is. But the adhesive is holding that rubber roof in place. Well, what happens is these harder detergents, there's a major. The major breaks this grease apart, right? Well, what happens is it's also going to soften that adhesive and then your rubber roof is going to start bubbling. Well, guess what? You're just waiting your warning. Those rubber roofs are warning for 10 years. If you don't keep them clean, or if you use the wrong product on it, it voids the warning. Stop it out of there. So use laundry detergent only. And Design Corps is the only one. They do make a rubber roof protection. If you want to use it, it is the only one that I recommend. A lot of these others have petroleum distillates in it. It will result in a juicy part, and you're going to have some bubbling problems. So cut a whole life force, you want to put a protective on it. You get the good stuff, so that way you're covered. Okay. Your aluminum and your fiberglass roofs, both skin, you want to wash, before you start washing the side. They can be washed again with Lumite or baby shampoo. You do need to apply the wax in your protective a little bit more frequently. Then you use the rest of your coat to shut that sun down on you all the time and it dries down a little bit sooner or a little bit faster. Especially true now that the paint is going to be going to a water-based paint. Even more important. But you can't just get slick up there. Remember again to keep your wax off of your basket up there. Because if that wax gets over on your basket and your wax has petroleum distillates in it, you're going to have some roof leaking problems, okay? So keep it off of those gaskets. But you're going to also, it means with the waxing a little bit more frequently, it's going to get a little slick up there. So if you go to a hardware store and buy a roll of that non-slip pad that they have for carpeting, cut it into sections, and just make a little bit of a walkway up there, it's going to give you a little bit more traction. It's very painful. It's very beautiful. I'm not sure. there 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah, it's a little tricky. It doesn't take you any more. So those cousin patties will help you get healthy back here. Now, one of the other things that happens when you're walking, especially if you're on the roof, they tend to bring some white streaks down on the side. So you back the ladder out and tie all of these white streak removers and they don't work. I had a dad particularly designed to remove oxidation. It does a great job of removing black streak too. So all you have to do is to take it out, put it over the cleaning pad, spray it with a little paper cleaner and look at those white streaks off. But remember, it takes time. So people will use a black streak remover, but they'll put it up there and they'll stop rubbing right away. Well, whatever cleaner that you're using to remove your black streak, just give it a, put it on, give it a few minutes, okay? It's going to take a little time for it to dissolve those black streaks. So just give it a little bit of time and then they'll come right on off for you. Okay, let's put it in. Kevin is talking about waxes and sealants and protectants and what's what, what's not. One of the things I want to warn you about, do not use silicone products on your coat. Okay? Silicone, now Teflon is a lot of these coatings that they put on for a last for about 5 years. Most of those are made from Teflon and not silicone. And so far the word about the Teflon is that it's doing a super job, so I think you're okay with Teflon. But the research that I've talked to, the people in my seminars, the store cars professionally, who have body paint shops, if they get a car or an RV in there that's been treated with silicone, they will not touch it. Why don't they touch it? Because nothing sticks to silicone and you can't remove it 100%. It ends up leaving the paint and the clear coat to it. And not to the case, it's real fine. So don't use the silicone product on your car because what happens with silicone is it will deteriorate the clear coat sealant. And then you start oxidizing. Well, what happens when you're oxidizing? You know, your paint starts deteriorating. You take it in and get it fixed, you know, you get it repainted and resealed, and you're going to, the paint's going to end up looking real sloppy because nothing sticks to silicone. If you've ever tried to paint over silicone caulking, you know, on the outside of your house, it just doesn't stick. So that's one of the problems that you're going to with silicone. Now, what I do want you to do, at least twice a year, is test for oxidation. Okay? And how you test for oxidation is you take a dry cloth and put a little bit of your wax on the cloth and just polish one spot for 2 or 3 minutes. If you see some color coming off on your cloth, you're oxidizing. Now, if you're oxidizing, that's telling you what it takes. You need to be using a wax or protectant 3 to 4 times a year, depending upon how, just depending upon the circumstances of your coat. And I'll talk about that here in just a minute. But it's going to tell you if you're using your wax or your protectant 3 to 4 times a year, if you're doing that often enough, or it's going to tell you if you're using the wrong type of protectant or wax. Okay? Now, what happens is you've got the wrong kind. We've been talking about petroleum distillate a little bit this morning. Well, with an LMK, there's various grades of petroleum distillate. It goes from the bad grade to the good grade. If you have a product that has the bad grade of petroleum distillate in it, those distillates literally will inundate your clear coat sealant. So if you're testing for oxidation a couple times a year, that's going to keep you ahead. It's going to tell you whether, if you're only applying the wax twice a year, it's going to tell you that you need to bump that up to at least 3 times a year, or if you're applying the wax to protect it 3 to 4 times a year, that's going to tell you that if the wax or protection that you're using has the wrong kind of distillate in it, and you better switch to the new one. Because it's removing the clear coat sealant. That's what the wrong kind of petroleum distillate will do. Now, the difference between a sealant and a protectant and a wax. Your sealants are only used if you are oxidizing. It will remove that oxidation. CO3 has a very good one, and so does Meguiar's. You want to remove that oxidation, if you're getting that off of there, we'll stop any further deterioration of your clear coat sealant. Get to keep that tank to make years before you restore it. But a sealant in the store, when you go to buy those, it will say for heavy duty cleaning, or it will specify for oxidation removal. So just read the bottle and look for an oxidation removal or heavy duty cleaning, and that will remove that oxidation for you. So that's what a sealant is referred to. Now your wax is always made from carnauba. Okay? Now carnauba seals. The only problem now, if you have an aluminum, you know, like on your car, it's fine to use carnauba on car because cars are made from metal and you don't have to worry about sealing metal. Same thing with aluminum, you know, your aluminum or your stainless steel side. You can use carnauba on those and you're perfectly fine. But fiberglass, Rest County tells you, and so does industrial finishes to make the paint and the sealant for it. They are specifying now not to use the product with petroleum distillates in it because of the fact that the petroleum distillates can deteriorate those clear coat sealants. Unfortunately, you don't know until your clear coat sealant is wearing down whether or not you've got the good kind or bad kind of petroleum distillates in your wax. And what industrial finishes is finding is that people are coming back trying, you know, to take this with, you know, and when these clear coat sealants put on, you know, underneath their warranty, and they're saying, no, we can't warranty it because you've been using the wrong, you know, you've been using silicone on it, or you've used the product with the wrong kind of petroleum distillates in it. So industrial finishes has come out and said, don't use the petroleum distillates. Now, Avery can't clean out. I've also come out and said, don't use petroleum distillates at any time in your wax and your protectant because of the fact that petroleum distillate, whether it's the good stuff or the bad stuff, it will dissolve that adhesive on the back of the decals and your striping, and that's what causes them to pull away from the surface. So it just literally will start dissolving. Now, the other problem that can start arising, too, is 3M has also come out with this last year. They came out with the double-faced tape that they're now using on some of the newer rigs. We'll put the, like the rearview mirrors on rather than screwing those in. You're now attaching those with double-faced tape. They're not going to fall off. But if you've got a product with petroleum distillates in it, it's going to dissolve that adhesive. Chances are it's not going to come off of there, but you don't want to take that test, okay? So keep your petroleum distillates out of there. Okay, so your wax has carnauba in it. And like I said, on your metal and on your aluminum sidings and your stainless steel sidings, you're perfectly fine in using carnauba. But on your fiberglass sidings, carnauba does seal. You do not want to use carnauba on a fiberglass siding because it seals. I've had a lot of people tell me, yeah, I have been putting my wax on religiously 3 to 4 times a year. My boat or my RV is, you know, 4 years old now and it's starting to yellow what's going on. Well, it's because they've been using carnauba. And the carnauba seals. Fiberglass has to breathe in order to stay healthy. So when you get in and you seal it, it's going to turn yellow with time, but it never gets time. So it just takes time for that to, you know, for that to seal, so for that to start turning yellow. But that's what's happening. If you've been, you know, real religious about using it and you're turning yellow, it's because of the carnauba. Now your protectants have got what they call polymer. And that's what is in my advantage, and that's why after the research that I did, that's why I had my advantage made with a polymer. A polymer will give you that unique protection that you need, but it doesn't seal. It needs a coating, but it doesn't actually seal. So it was in there, and it was protected. And I also had an advantage developed. It's a waterless wash. You're in a park someplace, it will dissolve dirt. Do not ever use any kind of a waterless wash, mine or anybody else's, if you're in an area where it's sandy, okay? Because they will dissolve dirt and dust. It will not dissolve rock, okay? So it's done as fresh, and if you've got sand on there, you're going to have some scratching problems. Now, the other thing is when you go to apply your wax or your protection or whatever you're doing, a lot of people like to go in a circle and bucket. Now, if you ever go into a paint shop and want to paint, you're painting from left to right and right to left. You know, it's just like when you're cleaning or sanding wood, you always sand with the grain so that you don't scratch the wood, right? Everybody, we've all done that, right? We learn the hard way. I always do anyway. So it's the same thing with your paint. You want to apply your wax from left to right and right to left, and that way it's going to help keep those swirl marks, you know, away. Yeah. Okay, now. One of the best tricks I can tell you, the title of my cleaning book is Whipple Potty Works. And that's one of the best tricks that I can tell you about speeding up your cleaning time is to work a whistle. And the title of that came from a man who passed 4 years ago talking up in the area I saw with your supply cities of Christmas. I was in a park someplace and he said, you know, I do what everybody else does. I get set up and I walk next to everybody else in Kansas. And he said, I walked past this one spot, and he said, this man was over there, this big one, and was cleaning his coat. And he said, nobody in the right mind cleans their slippers and cleans their coats. It's a hard job to do. So he said, I looked back, and he said, he's using the tools I've never seen before. And he said, I've got a drop full of stuff that either broke or broke his promise, one of the two. So I held it off to help him clean his coat so I could see whether or not they really were doing the job right. And he said, when we got done, he said, I looked at him and he said, well, okay, I agree, they did a good job, but it doesn't explain how to do this one. And he said, the guy looked at me and he said, does it work? And he said, what do you mean it works? He said, every time I whistle, I get help cleaning my coat. Really like it. And I've had a lot of women since I started doing one of my students 4 years ago told me that they use nothing now but vinegar and water to clean their carpets, and they are just amazed at how clean their carpets is made. You will really like it, really works. So they get the carpets professionally cleaned, and somebody comes in, they rinse it. When they go to rinse the carpet, have them add some vinegar to the rinse second of water. Also have them add a little bit of vinegar to the wash water and use a lot less detergent, because the vinegar will boost the cleaning ability of the detergent that they're using, and they don't need nearly so much. So have them cut that down to about a fourth of what they generally need, and it'll be just fine. Now, stain removal and carpeting, when you don't have time to go over complete stain removal guide, there are today's instructions on the handout that you got for stain removal. If you go to my website, it has a paid stain removal guide there that's downloadable and printable. It's free. You're welcome to do that. While you're there, you're also welcome to sign up for my stain newsletter. That I do that generally twice a month. And it's free. I don't send it out by mail, but I do send it out by email. And I do want to run over a couple tricks with wadding and painting. Like one of the big things is your product time to work. So when people say, well, I need to wash, you want to wash the carpet, rather than getting it out of the container and start rubbing, it leaves a little fuzzy spot in your carpet, and it's not a whole lot of fun. So you want, you always want to rinse out, no matter what cleaner you're using to remove the stain, you want to rinse that out with some vinegar and water. Now, well, you have a like this, and you're going to poke your knuckles and use that towel that you gather with vinegar and water, set it down on the stain and turn your wrist to the right, okay, and you're going to twist clockwise. Now, let's say extract that stain from in between the fibers. The fibers of your carpet are twisted clockwise. So let's say extract that stain from in between the fibers, but it's not going to leave that fuzzy stuff in there. My flash product, my cleaner and greaser, does a really good job of removing a lot of your stain. The back out does an excellent job of removing, old stains of red dye or not red dye stains of urine and fecal matter from the dogs, that have an accident or a staff get sick in the stomach. So it does a good job of removing that. Red dye stains, by the way, on your face, if you have a dog or a cat and they kind of lose their lungs, after you just vaccinate it every once in a while, if it leaves the red stain in your carpet, switch food. Dogs and cats are colorblind, they can't see that red dye in their food, and it's the red dye from the food that's causing those problems. So switch to a light colored use of food, that's a problem. Prevention is some really good stuff. Okay, so when you clean your stain, if you spill a cup of coffee, by the way, coffee is one thing I will talk about. A lot of people spill their coffee cups. It's a matter of time. So, you take the stain out, and 3 days later, it's back after you. And you take it out, a week later, it's back after you. Coffee, when a liquid hits the patty, it spreads. Okay, so what looks like inside stain on top is mixed by on the patty. And that's why that coffee keeps coming back up, because it's just spread out now on the patty. So what you want to do whenever you clean it, especially with the urine stain in carpet, it starts from the outer edges of that stain. The bullet leaves twice as large as what the stain is, start at the outer edges, spray, and then work to the inside of that stain. Because that way, when you hit that thin spot where it's heavily concentrated and it starts spreading, by the time it starts spreading, you've got that cleaner there that's ready to dilute it, and it's going to help keep that stain from spreading further in your carpet. And it works really well with urine, too, because again, when that urine, you're going to use an enzyme product. If you're not using a back out, Mrs. Miracle, because the pet stores is another very good enzyme product. But the enzymes get in there, they work just like they do in your holding tank. They get in there and they really start eating away, at that residue. But again, they're derived, so start at the outer edges of those stains and work towards the center. That way, when you get to the center of that stain, those go after that, you know, after the urine and stuff, so that it spreads and gets out, just get it told as it goes, rather than just spreading that food further. Okay. Now, on the hard floor surfaces, it's got tiles, linoleum, wood, extra-light flavors, it's magnetic high-end flavor. Okay, the reason I don't want you using the wet flavors on your hard floor surfaces is because those pads are very thin, you can't clean anything, so they have to put a lot of chemicals on in order to set the floor clean. If you have them on the hard floor after using them and it's sticky, guess what's happening on your floor? It's the same thing that liquid dishwashing detergent is going to do, you know, on the side of your coat to soften those sealants. Well, with that sealant shot, you know, you're going to have to either strip your linoleum floors or sand your hardwood floors. Don't use that stuff. It's going to run the sealant on your floor. You've got a laminated floor surface and you use something that's run the sealant. Unfortunately, there is not a thing in the world you can do about it except replace the laminated floor. You cannot stand it and change them. Okay? Get those wet flavors out of there. Now, the little bottles, a lot of people like those little spray bottles that are on the side. Those are fine to use. Throw away the detergents that come with them. Okay? Throw them with some vinegar and water. And they will be respond. Okay. The reason that I'm getting rid of your salt in the mouth, and then you have to wash the face with a dirty washcloth. Okay, I think that's what I thought. I do that all the time. Okay, you can't get your face clean with a dirty washcloth. It's impossible, right? How in the world do you expect to get your floor clean with a dirty mop? Doesn't work. Those things smell rough, inch, oh, this is miserable. Dysentery cloths now, they are fantastic. You wash your skin, but every time you're cleaning, most floors you can do with just warm water. It's a good, we'll cover that here in just a minute. You're washing, you're cleaning every time, and that dirt is coming up off of there. Now, clean your floor. There's some floor I've been in contact, I've been good friends with a man by the name of Fred Houston, who is one of these best-known sump floor men in the United States. Sump floors, including tile, plate, granite, and marble, do not use a detergent on those floor surfaces. You will run a sump floor. And don't, by the way, worry about disinfecting your floor. Marketing is fantastic, isn't it? How many of you disinfect the beans? Yeah, why do you need to disinfect your floor? More of your carpeting has 15 million gazillion times more germs in it than your hardwood floor. The only reason they want to disinfect the floor is because they want to buy and they're disinfecting. If you're the marketing type, if they get too involved without this germ stuff, you're going to buy something to take care of the germs. Hogwash, you don't need to have stuff. Leave it in the store. Okay, so your sump floors, hot water only. One of the big problems with your sump floors is getting the stains out of the grout. I carry a little product called the stain eraser. The stain gets down in and literally erases the stain of the grout. The neat thing about this is it's safe to use the colored grout. Most of your cleaners, you cannot use the colored grout because it takes the color out of them. This thing goes from on the floor, you go back to the bucket, come on, it's real quick and easy. I was at a huge industrial, an international industrial trade show last year for the, something called the Jan-Jan industry, the Janitorial Sanitation industry, and I brought home samples of about 5 or 6 different grout cleaners, and nothing did as good as what I could carry. So I tested what I've been doing and it worked. Now, you want to seal your grout after you get those cleaned out, seal it. Go into a hardware store. You want to get a 5-year grout sealant. Don't waste the money on a 20-year sealant because you're going to be resealing in 5 years anyway. So get a grout sealant. Go into a craft store and get a little bottle, one of the little foot bottles that has a pointed lid on it. Put your grout cleaner in that little bottle and it's going to give you a real fine point. Once you get that on the floor a little bit easier. Seal that grout, be real generous with what you put on the floor, okay? Then you're going to let that set for about 3 to 4 days to be secure. Put another coat on there, let it set for another 3 or 4 days. Now take a spray bottle with some water and spray that grout. you got to seal. If it doesn't, you got to do it a third time. Because what that water's eating up on top, and that way if you spill something on the ground, you got time to get it wiped off of there before it gets on through. Okay, so that's when. And then when you start seeing the grout getting dirty again, it's time to reseal. But usually it's about every 5 years to seal your grout. Alright, now on your wood floors, your wood floors and your laminated floors, vinegar and water only. Thank you, Murphy Oil Soap. Actually, Claire, I had three of my clients who had to have their floors sanded and restained when I was cleaning houses professionally. The required cleaning people had been using Murphy Oil Soap on it. Okay, that was three of them. Like a heartbreaking story, it was a couple years ago when I sent out an email on how to take care of our good stores. A man wrote back in the gratitude which I had known you 5 years ago. The clean lady had been using Murphy Oil Soap on his 100-year-old floor. It could not be standard and rescinded. Don't use Murphy Oil Soap on anything. It's a vegetable oil and it will dissolve the sealant on wood, cabinets, furniture, whatever. Okay. Vinegar and water on those floor surfaces. The mixture is usually about a fourth of a cup of vinegar for a half gallon of water. It's generally sufficient. Now, if you're in an area like down south in Southern California, Arizona, where you have really hard water, you may need a little bit more vinegar than that. So anywhere from a fourth to a half a cup of vinegar is just fine. If you've been using Murphy Oil Soap on your hardwood floor or vegetable oil, use a real strong vinegar and water solution, about 3/4 of a cup per gallon of water. Use several cherry cloth towels, go in there with the cherry cloth towel, get lost a section at a time. As the towel gets soiled, do not rinse it and reuse it or you're going to recontaminate the floor. Get a fresh towel and keep going. That will pull an awful lot of that off. If it doesn't return in time, you're going to need to have any sort of floor sanded and rinsed because it's gotten destroyed from the Murphy Oil Soap. Okay, linoleum floors. Those can be cleaned. It's usually just warm water and a cherry cloth towel does a really good job. Some of those linoleum floors have really deep chips in them and it's hard to get out of there. Get a nylon spray brush about twice a year, no matter how good the mop is, it doesn't get down into those little itty bitty grooves. So get a nylon spray brush, and again, you can use like a cleaner and razor to go in. It rinses clean, it doesn't have phosphorus in it, so it rinses clean. Then it's just a matter of getting in there and get some down a little bit softer on the floor, letting it set there for a few minutes. Use those nylon spray brush and scrub that out of there, and it does a pretty good job. Then if you'll take the cleaner and razor, put a little bit of that and scrape all the water, and then spray your walkway areas before you start in a mopping. Then come through with some vinegar and water solution. It'll pull that detergent, you know, it'll pull the cleaner and degreaser up off the floor, but it will also help clean it, you know, along with that. And also with your linoleum floors, if you will use the spray, you know, if you will use the vinegar and water to clean them, you're going to do a good job of cleaning them, and you're not going to get dirty. And the vinegar will not hurt your linoleum floors. It's going to be putting it in fine vinegar. Okay, next step. I have some questions about the dark brown spots on the surfaces and carpet. Those are usually caused by water spots. Okay, the way that you want to treat those is to make a very, very, very thin paste of baking soda and hydrogen peroxide. Okay, mix it together. You can use something thinner than what grade you there. You're going to need a very thin paste. And then you're just going to take that and smear that a little bit. Don't press it in real hard. Just try to smear that on the surface of those carpeted ceilings. Let that set for 30 minutes. Then after 30 minutes, spray it again with a little bit more hydrogen peroxide. And then let it dry quickly, even overnight. It can stay up there overnight. It's not going to hurt a thing. Let it off as you can. Bag them off the rest of the baking soda with a bag container. You don't need to worry about it rinsing. It's not going to hurt a thing. Generally, that gets it off the first time. If it doesn't get all of it off the first time and you still see a little bit left after 2 or 3 days, just re-spray it in with a little bit more vinegar, little bit more peroxide. That will kind of reactivate the bases for a minute so you take the rest of it off. But everybody's coming back saying that you took it off the first time, so that works pretty well. Okay, the bathrooms, Aaron, again, are Tina and the Rangers, which does an excellent job. In your shower, okay, we're half hour, we're doing okay. Your shower, you've got some cobwebs in there, because a lot of people don't like cleaning, the soap brand too off. And if you've ever done your thumbnail, you know, to tell if you've got hard water or soap residue, take your thumbnail and run it across the bottom part of the shower. You've got some hot stuff coming off on your nails. You've got some soap residue buildup. The cleaner and the grease have a hold of that, or use a concentrated orange cleaner. Use a concentrated, don't dilute it. Take a sponge or a light cloth and wipe it on those walls concentrated. Let that sit there for about 30 minutes, generally 30 or 40 minutes, even an hour is not going to hurt anything. And take your old white sweat pad. Messing it down with some water and some over that, and that will remove the soap off of that. Then after that, you spray your shower gel, you know, once a week with the cleaner and the greaser, dilute it, and it will go ahead and clean your shower. Now, the one trick is you don't like cleaning soap residue off your shower. Stop looking. Okay? Prevention is the part about skin cleaning. I'll tell you what, all you need to do is to take and clean soap. It's the talc in your bar soap that's causing your problem. Because your soaps are like glycerin, Dove does not have talc in it, or any liquid body soap, and you're going to end that problem. But else you will end by getting rid of the talc in your bar soap on your clogged drain. Because if that soap residue is sticking to your shower wall, guess what else is sticking to you? Getting your drains, and you get hair down in there, and that's it, and you get poor talc down there, and that's it, and before long, you've got some sound drains. Get your drains open, you want to pour a little bit of baby soda, half cup of baby soda, call it by half cup of vinegar, or hydrogen peroxide, let that bubble and fizzle overnight, rinse it out the next morning, and that's going to be expensive. But that's kind of good when it gets down in your whole tank, it helps you otherwise your whole tank as well. Now, the other thing that you can do to help your shower, when you take a shower, you always want to clean them off. And I recommend, I looked at that industrial trade show, I looked for them in the bathroom cleaning. I did not find one as good as what this California cleaning is. You'll find those in a kind of automotive supply store. But if anybody tells me cardiac company, it's about this large and it really does a good bad job of pulling that water down. But also, if you'll take the advantage, never spray a rat or anything like that directly on the wall. Because it will drift over on the floor, and this stuff makes the surface slick. Okay, the last thing in the world is to use this wet floor and pet shower. You apply, that's not a fun place to take the ball. You can wipe it on with the cloth, with the dry cloth, and then let it set for a little bit. That's going to help that water seep, so it's going to make cleaning them down just a whole lot easier for you. And put that on your glass doors too, and it'll help keep your water top performing. And by the way, the advantage will also help take water off of your glass shower doors. It's a little bit of a English thing, but it saves you a lot of air. So it's a little bit of elder work, but it's not too bad. Okay, let's see, your toilet. How do you clean your toilet? Okay, first, now we've got a little bit of time. Before I cover your toilet, your forehead and cover holding tanks there, because it's not always small. I hear nightmare stories about people in the holding tanks because they're the odors, putting chlorox and, you know, these strong fans down there. You really need to be careful about what you're putting in your holding tank because it can, you know, all of these products can dry out for gases and it's not real cheap to have them replaced. So if you're holding tanks, the Otacon is a very good product. Hypotage is a very good product. Snow White is also another very good product to use. You want to be real cautious. Now I want to warn you about your holding tank product. You want to carry it. You're not carrying a product that lists the ingredients on the outside you really want to call the manufacturer and ask for any of that CST. Because if by any chance I was bitten intentionally head on about 3 years ago, so accidents do happen out there on the road. And if somebody does hit you out there and you're holding tank still, and you cannot immediately prove what's in your holding tank, if you're in a sensitive area next to a river or a stream, something like that, you're going to be charged with a toxic cleanup charge. Okay? Very now. And they are not cheap. And you will be charged with every and all 50 states. You will be charged with a toxic cleanup charge. So if you're not using an enzyme product, I really like the enzyme product depth, because you hold that up and you say, this is what's in my open tank. You know, that's great. You're doing great. There's no problems here at all. But with your other products, like the case where you're an SDSC, so they know what's in your holding tank. Okay. Your toilet. Okay, how do you clean your toilet? That's another reason why I like the cleaner in the greaser. You can put them in a spray bottle of water, you can clean your shower, you can clean your grand countertop, spray it in your toilet. Now, the trick with your toilet, when you spray the inside of the toilet, take a little bit of baking soda and put that on your toilet bowl when you brush. It's just that. It's a little bit of extra up. Just clean and scrub your toilet and it will do a real good job. Do that once a week and you just don't have a water in your mind. Now, a little trick with your toilet. If you're not full-time and you've got to leave home for a couple of months, you know, you come home and you get some watering marks built up through there. This thing, the same company that makes the eraser for tile grout also makes a calcium remover. Well, this not only removes calcium, but it also removes iron. And you just take that and go around the toilet and it removes all that iron and hard water that's getting built up through your toilet. It's just fantastic and it doesn't take long to use it. It'll work like a pumice stone, except you don't have to worry about it cracking your toilet like the pumice stone will do. Okay, one of the other tricks with your toilet in your RV in particular is that little closure. I can never remember what the name of it is, but the little closure there, they will get some hard water build up on that, and then they sit there and leak all the time. Take a paper towel and saturate that with some white vinegar, and just set that right over on top of that, and the white vinegar will break down that calcium buildup. And it'll break that out. And if you do that every 2 months, just regularly, just put it on there, just let it set overnight, it'll get that soft for you and take care of that problem. Now, the other trick with your toilet, oh, I was going to tell you, when you go in home, pour one cup of vinegar in your toilet before you leave home, and then cover the bottom bowl with some saran wrap. I learned this at one of my seminars. Cover it with some saran wrap. That prevents the water from evaporating. And the vinegar is a mild acid, so it neutralizes that alkaline, and it will keep your water spots before you're out here having fun. Okay? So it works really well. Now, the other thing is, you want a really quick or easy way to clean your toilet? Remember how I told you that my advantage makes the surface wet? Okay, get those watery marks removed off of your toilet. Put a little bit of this in your toilet and just let it sit there a little bit. It makes that surface slick. I don't think I need to tell you the advantage of having a slick toilet. If I do come over, I'm in good 6 months trip. So I'll put it in over there, okay? I mean, they clean up real nice and fast and in the conversation there. Okay. Now, I think we've got our bathroom covered. Let's head out to the kitchen. With your kitchens and your convection ovens, those are difficult to clean. There is a product, those convection ovens are usually stainless steel. There is a product at the dollar store called Awesome that does a super job of cleaning those. A word of warning though, whenever you're using any kind of a cleaner inside your convection oven, always make sure that you rinse it with just some spray vinegar, okay? Because if you don't take that cleaner off the side, that's what's going into your food. and turn your oven on the next time. You don't want that stuff taken into your food, so wipe it out of there with just some straight vinegar, and then again with just some straight water. After you clean it, turn your oven on to about 200. Just let it bake without anything in there for a minute or two, so then all of those fumes can get baked out, and that way you're not eating those fumes. Okay, it's real important for your health. Take care of your health, because, you know, if you don't do it, nobody else is going to. So take care of your health. Now on your plastic microwave, those just throw a coffee cup in, a little bit of water in, turn that thing on for about 3 minutes instead of steaming. Take a cloth, lay it down with the cleaner and the grease, go in, wipe it out, and you're done. Those are ways you can take care of. Corn chemicals. The reason I put silver from BioLox to BioClean was because the BioLox people is a very, very good cleaner. But the BioLox people have not done any research on chlorine countertop. So I did not recommend it to use on chlorine countertop. At that industrial trade show, I ran on to the BioClean folks, and the gentleman that was the sales rep on there said, I used to sell chlorine, and I was always BioClean, because BioClean was the only product we tested that was safe for chlorine countertop. So this stuff will do a great job. Now, one of the problems is that some stains are known for in countertops. How do you get them out of there? First of all, if it's a light stain, try to use it with some straight hydrogen peroxide. Pour it on there, cover it over with a bowl so it doesn't evaporate. Just let it sit there, you know, for about 30 minutes. Take some baking soda, sprinkle some baking soda on top of that, and then take a white scrub head and very gently just go ahead and scrub that stuff out of there. Most of the time that will take it out. Whitening toothpaste. I've also got a lot of stains out with whitening toothpaste. There's also another little sponge made by Mr. Clean. It's a white sponge and it does a fairly good job. Test the spot first. Never use that white sponge though. You have different grades of chlorine. Some of them are flat, some of them are kind of a semi-gloss. It's a lot like the white paint in the house. Some of them are semi-gloss and some of them are full gloss. Don't use that on full gloss. All those need is just a little cream once a week and you're just on the rest of them is the cream that is the cream sign quite like does a real good job of removing those things that are occurring on the top. Alright, the next thing. Ooh, those are one of those ear splitting things that are hard to clean. There are these little things called the dry sun, and these things are wonderful. And all you do with your big night stains is come down and go across them. You're usually completely dry, you don't get them down, but they're chemical treated, but it takes use on all surfaces, and you just come right down and remove all that dust and dirt off your, you know, off of your big night stains. And it does a good job too, by the way, on your fabric furniture, stays on there, pad there, dirt off the fabric furniture. Cost the clock ceiling, so do a good job of cleaning those. Maybe another mixture stuff also in the same minute. Your last case and things like that, they just do a super low job. Now, with your day night space, a little trick with that, sometimes you get lifetime growing crop those, and they use little, well, I call it bug skin. I mean, they have a great thing else, but they're a little black dots. But you sit there and eat some spaghetti and it goes flying and gets up on your dinner cake. Okay, I've got a product that BioClean is under the name of really good liquid dishwasher detergent. Take a Q-tip and dip it with some water and dab it in just a little bit of your liquid dishwasher detergent. That's going to give you a real fine little pinpoint. So you can take that and pinpoint it right on those little spots. Let it sit there for about 15 minutes, and then take the cherry cloth towel. Actually, this is where you like the fiber cloth. I mean, it's really nice. Dampen it down with just a little bit of water. Take your finger like this, just the very tip of your finger, with a little bit of vinegar and water in your rag, or with the microfiber cloth, and just the water. Poke it in that spot, and just kind of lock your finger a little bit. Don't go wiggling it, but just kind of lock it. Just put two spots on your towel and just keep boxing. Now, if it doesn't come out with the, you know, with the liquid dishwasher detergent, chances are it it's not going to come out, okay? So don't go messing with it any further. You have to look at work. Okay. That happens with the United States and that does sometimes. You keep the United States hold up several hours a day because if you don't, they'll free fire it out and then after a while you're not going to get them up again. So just so it's hold up a little bit. The poles on your daylight stage, so they get dirty, grab a hold of some foamy shaving cream, put it on your fingertips, pull it right down low, and it will clean those, let it set for about 15 minutes, and it all gets some vinegar and water, pull off all of that dirt and oil that gets on those stage. Alright, let's see, talk about shaves, and you can blind over the 16
A lot of them do. They sell.
the buildup. And actually what's happening with those is it's not the wax that's causing the problem, it's like the petroleum distillate. Those other chemicals that are used in it are causing the sealant, and that's what's causing the problem. It's causing it. But this stuff is great. It will remove crack marks in plain turf. If you have watering marks, it will remove your watering marks. Or if your cabinets are draining, like in the bathroom, that happens sometimes, if they're beginning to gray from, they put some cement in there, it will restore that dust and you will get to that. Now, it also doesn't dissolve, a pain and condition of the cabinets in the refrigerator, especially stuff in. But even on the dust of your cabinets, at least once a month, you want to walk it down or brush it with a little bit of liquid disruption detergent and water. You go clean down, wipe the cabinets off at least 3 weeks of dust. That's to keep that dust from going into the cabinets and the wood is drying and cracking it. It's real important to do that. One of the problems that you get with leather and vinyl, again, is important to keep it in a bad condition. Leather and vinyl will dry out and it will start cracking on you. You can clean the condition a couple times a year, it will do a super job. My leather care is both a container and a conditioner. It's the only leather cleaner that I ever found tested that removes heat from leather and vinyl furniture. So it will take your ink out, it will also get food from the dye out as well. But it cleans it, and it cleans things that people have been really surprised. They say, oh, I have to clean my leather furniture. They come in and buy stuff, and it comes back and goes, I can't believe how much dirt came out of my furniture. But it really does clean that dirt out of it. Now, with your leather furniture, one trick is your furniture. If you take a large size back down, take the blood over your furniture, and it helps keep those a lot cleaner. So, again, you get to know a bit of a whole lot here. Now, the other thing that ink marks, if you have gelatin marks on your leather furniture, nothing will remove gelatin off of any kind of surface. When you write out your check, where if I got sick, it would be a jelly because it's not the acid wash off. So somebody can't come in and steal your pet, acid wash off, you would clean out too and your mouth and steal everything out of your bank account. Okay? You use a jelly and it prevents that, but jelly does not smell. Okay? So be real careful when you're using a jelly can. Make sure it's holding tight. Right out of the tank, you close that lid real tight on. Okay, the other little tip, and hints to the inside of yourself, look at the hardware store and get a 1.5-inch toothbrush and a sponge toothbrush. These things are just as handy as they can be. Get enough and continue just your desk or the ceiling. And it also gets into the corners in your windows, the cobwebs off of your door hinges, things like that. I just tuck it into my back pocket when I'm dusting and just pop it out and go for it. And it's good. Other than that, I'll show you the easiest way to clean a room is to walk in and sweep it with the lamp. Why are you not taking that? They said, well, because we can save a few cents per model. I said, no, you don't realize the number of thousands of people I have had using IV liposuction washing detergent. You would not believe the number of thousands of customers who are now going to lose. So that's why I started looking for another one. The BioClean does not contain phosphorus. So this stuff is used when you're washing your dishes. It starts to build up in your sink drain, like when a phosphorus cleaner will build up so you're not going to have your drain clogging up. But it also doesn't have a lot of foam. It'll foam up a little bit at first, but it dries down. So if you're dry camping, put a little bit of vinegar and a spray bottle of water. Put your dishes in there. Get out your spray bottle with vinegar and water and just switch the dishes off and it comes right off. Because without the phosphorus being in there, it doesn't stick to the place of your dishes in your hand. So it just rinses right out for you. That's my key. We've got about 5 minutes left. Let's go to questions. Jennifer?